Today on the Travel Guys.
In the Travel, wasn't that cool? A local guy won the big running of the Indy 500. That's like incredibly cool.
That's amazing. We've got a lot of superstars from Sacramento in a number of areas.
And we do, but we have another one as of a few minutes ago, it sounds like.
Great news.
Anyways, in the travel news.
Yes, as I was saying, today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Sacramento's airport has made a list of miserable airports in a very positive way. And remember how we told you Uber and Lyft had Ubered out of Austin? Well, look what happened next in the ride-sharing business in Austin, Texas.
Gwen Duncan joins us today at 3:20 with two interesting topics, buying around-the-world tickets and warning about buying air and cruise tickets with someone else's credit card.
Yeah, especially if they don't know that you're using it.
Yes.
Almost everyone dreams of taking a few weeks off from work and traveling around a continent. At 3:35, Chris Galloway is here to share the do's and don'ts of traveling in Europe.
And in our last segment at 3:50, Mark answers some questions from his overflowing online mailbag and shares some travel wisdom.
How cool. Every segment of the show today has something to help make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, and what a beautiful, beautiful weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend, and right off the top, the Travel Guys wants to salute all of our veterans and all of those past and present that have served our country so well, and we salute them all, and thank you for taking a moment out of your day to spend some time with the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman, and across the way, Chris Galloway.
And at the end of the program, we have a little tribute to veterans and to one very special veteran. If you remember a movie star who passed about 15 years ago, a man named Jimmy Stewart. Why, we have a very special little Memorial Day tribute at the end of the program. How are you, Mr. Romano?
You know, couldn't be better. I feel after my little mini illness, like I'm like almost 100%. It feels so good to be here. Sorry, I had to horrify you with a beard, but not quite.
You call it a little mini illness, and your wife calls it a near-death experience, nonetheless.
We don't want to make too big a deal out of it.
I think anything that covers up, if you grow that out and it covers up a good part
of beard,
your face,
you mean,
then that'll be probably a plus.
Thank you. I was wondering where you were going to go with that.
You're welcome. So you said how beautiful it is here, but it's hotter than Hades outside.
Well, you know,
it's going to be 108 before the week is over.
Yes, it is.
I saw that on my little phony thing there where you pull up the 7-day forecast and it goes from hotter to hell is frozen over kind of thing.
You know, for whatever the reason, Sacramento will do this to you once in a while. You'll go from these real mild temperatures and then in a period of about 3 or 4 days, you'll go from the 80s to the low 100s. And for whatever the reason, there's very few of us that can get used to that.
This has gotten progressively worse since this morning. For tomorrow, 99. For Tuesday, 102. And then in succession, 100, 102, 108, and 106 before cooling to a chilly 93 next Sunday.
Oh, boy.
People will have out their long winter coats.
Hydrate. Drink lots of water and stay in the shade.
Make sure. We have a lot of visitors in town this weekend. I came back Thursday from my little trip back to Ohio on the mystery tour, and there were scads of kids flooding into town.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say, some of them a little bit geeky looking. I mean, every geeky kid in this country.
Was they have the spelling bee here?
It was the Debate and Forensic Society. Some kind of big national contest. Clayton was telling me about it, and it's thousands of kids literally in town. We wondered why it was so hard to get airline tickets from Columbus back to Sacramento on Thursday night. Even 8 months in advance, we couldn't get a decent airfare. We thought, what must be going on in Columbus? And all the time, it wasn't what was going on in Columbus. It was what was going on in Sacramento, because literally every plane that landed on Thursday night had scads of high school kids on them. And who were here for this competition this weekend? So, a lot of visitors in town. Plus that music festival that used to be known as the Dixieland Jazz Jubilee, but
now
it's
the Sacramento Music Festival.
My
buddy Tony Cox, who works here, is one part-time production guy. He's emceeing many, many of those events, has for nearly, what is it, like 35 years worth of festivals down there in one form or another.
Oh, it's been going on for forever. And I'll never forget, we had a couple years where the weather at Brown Memorial Day was kind of cold and rainy and stuff like that. And, you know, the restaurants and stuff down there, they buy a bunch of food ahead of time and plan for this. And I just remember all the guys having to throw a lot of stuff out. Anyway, I don't have anything to do with what we're doing today.
Well,
we are busy. We probably should get going.
In some ways it does, as we talked about last week, that Sacramento is a travel destination. We talked about it last week with the Amgen tour.
Yep.
And today, people from all over the world find their way to Sacramento for the music festival.
It's also wedged between. Sacramento has a distinction right now. Napa is one of the hottest and most expensive destinations in the country. San Francisco is one of the hottest and most expensive destinations in the country. San Jose is just one of the most expensive destinations in the country for reasons that are not related to tourism. Lake Tahoe is a very popular destination. All these places are incredibly expensive. In the middle of them, you have Sacramento, which is not incredibly expensive. It's so inexpensive as compared to all those other ones. And I think what's happening is that more and more people are realizing that, hey, you know, I could fly in there. The airport's a lot more reasonable. The car rental is a lot cheaper. The hotels are cheaper. The food is cheaper. The people are fairly friendly there. You know, if I can put up with some hot summer weather, I'm in business. What do you think?
I think you're
Should
right
we make
on
a commercial.
I think so, and that's why a lot of people like to come and live here.
There you go. Let's do the travel news, shall we?
All right. As always, at the top of the Travel Guys radio program, we do the travel news. Mark, what do you got?
Well, Delta Airlines is putting award tickets on sale. It's kind of interesting because Delta doesn't have an award chart anymore. They don't have, you know, how United says, well, it costs this much to get an award ticket for this and this much to this continent and stuff. Delta has done away with all that. So it's kind of just like whatever their mood, whatever mood strikes them pricing. And Delta says they're having their award tickets have been put on sale. Of course, it's hard to verify that because nobody knows what they actually sell for in the first place. However, and going on Delta's website, I did find that a number of their shorter flights in particular have been put on sale. So if you are a Delta traveler and you have some Delta SkyMiles in your account, this is for travel from late summer, August 23rd, to November 16th. So that window just before Labor Day until just before Thanksgiving when nobody is flying and they can't sell these seats anyway, they're happy to give them to you for reduced point amounts. So it's a chance until June the 7th for Delta travelers to get a good deal. We talked in the headlines about miserable airports, and indeed, this is from MileCards.com did us their annual study, and they rank airports on a misery index based on how long the flights are delayed before taking off, how long it takes to taxi out. You know, like in Dallas or LaGuardia, you sit on the runway for 30 or 40 minutes. That counts against you. When you land, how long does it take to taxi in and get to a gate and get off the airplane? So they ranked airports from the worst to the best.
The miserable index.
Okay. From the, these are 50 biggest airports in the country.
50 biggest airports in the country.
The worst one, perfect misery score is 100.
Okay.
So the worst, most miserable airport in the
country.
With
a score of 100 is?
95.
Okay.
Is Newark. And I absolutely agree with that. It's the worst airport in the country. If you're ever flying out of Newark, do it early in the day. Before 9 o'clock, Newark has a 90% on-time rate.
Sure.
After 3 o'clock, Newark has a 55% on-time rate. There you have it.
All right.
Newark, most miserable airport. LaGuardia, New York, absolutely agree there. No score of 94. O'Hare, Chicago, but I guess I'm there. New York Kennedy, I'm not in very much. That's fourth. Then Boston. Then there's a 10-point drop-off in misery, if you will.
Okay.
Boston, San Francisco, Philly are all together. And then you go down to Dulles, Miami, Washington, Reagan. Miami, frankly, should be in the top three. That's a terrible, terrible airport. And Washington, Reagan in the top 10. And I don't see that at all. I think Washington, Reagan is one of the nicer airports in the country. But anyway, otherwise, I pretty much agree with them. What's most interesting is the airports on the other end of the list.
The bottom...
The least miserable airports, if you will.
Like number 50.
Number 50.
So, least miserable would be?
Least miserable would be San Jose. Now, I haven't been to San Jose since they've redone the airport, so I really can't comment on that one.
Well, just being where it is seems like that it would be a lot more miserable.
49 is Portland.
Portland, okay.
Okay, remember the misery index score was 95 at Newark? At San Jose, it's 11. At Portland, it's 12. Those are the two best in the country. At number 48 airport, where the misery index is 20 compared to the 95, Sacramento.
Well, look at there.
How about that?
Well, I have to agree.
The rest of the bottom 10, Orange County, Dallas, Love. I wouldn't put Orange County in the bottom 10. That's a zoo. San Diego, that's a zoo. Fort Myers, Oakland, Honolulu. No, this is, well, I guess, though,
now,
when
you're
saying...
Are you in the process of debunking your entire misery index?
Well, I don't know. Some
survey
of it's,
here
some of it's
right
good,
in the middle of doing this.
Some of it's good and some of it's not so good. All right, let's move on to some other things here. Uber got thrown out of you. I think this happened while you were still sick.
The Austin thing?
Yeah.
No, I remember.
Okay.
I was here for that. They were not allowed to do Austin. What's the latest?
Well, because they had their drivers were going to have to get fingerprinted, and they didn't want that. So the city council passed an ordinance. They tried to get it overturned, spent a lot of money. The voters said, no, we're okay with this. So they pulled out, and now some other startup companies are coming in because now it's the largest city on the planet without ride sharing.
Interesting.
Believe it or not. So talk about opportunities. So this one called Arcade City, this gentleman has a ride sharing. He says they're not a transportation network company, which is what the others are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a bulletin board. You post that you need a ride, and drivers post that they're available, and they match them up. I don't understand completely. I tried to contact this guy, so maybe we'll get him on the radio. But it's a different form of ride sharing.
But the bottom line is the reason that they're able to do this is that they were willing to be fingerprinted and...
Well, no. This particular company, because of the way that they operate, they're not considered a transportation network company by definition.
Okay, so they're flying under the radar.
They're flying under the radar. But nonetheless, all the startups in the country now are moving into Austin, Texas
I go to visit my daughter in San Antonio, I'm just going to get a rental car and go down to Austin.
Down to Austin, make a few bucks. Huh?
Yeah, pick up some spare change.
Okay, American's Best Small Town. This is Reader's Choice. America's Best Small Towns, Best Historic Small Towns, top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is Bisbee, Arizona. Not surprising. That's a pretty cool little town. But what is more important is number six is Solvang, California.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have gone with maybe Folsom, California.
Oh, loser. Folsom has a nice main street.
It's a nice little town.
It does.
Nice
but
little old town.
It's
area.
Not quite on the level of Mackinac Island,
no.
And Sitka, Alaska, Williamsburg, Virginia. These are the other ones in the top 10 list here. But Solvang was number six. Let's see. There's another list here. Best small college town, San Luis Obispo was number seven.
Interesting.
On that list. Chris, you're taking folks to Santa Fe next week, and they showed up as eighth on a small. I didn't even know that Santa Fe had a sizable college in town.
Santa Fe's got
everything. We have to turn you on over there. Yeah, that's it. Santa Fe has just about everything there. Yeah, okay. Let's see. Estes Park, Colorado. Small towns within 100 miles, 150 miles. All right, anyway, on and on and on and on. What else do you want to talk about here? Things that have happened in the cruise industry this year that are kind of new and interesting. New thrill attractions. Thrills have become a cruise ship staple. And on the world's newest, largest cruise ship, Royal Caribbean's 5,500-passenger Harmony of the Seas, the rush comes a courtesy of the Ultimate Abyss. Beginning later this month, daring riders can zoom on mats from the top of the ship to the boardwalk neighborhood 100 feet below.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you were going to tell me that's a roller coaster, but that's even better.
More craft beer choices on cruise ships this year. Posh getting posher. Regent Seven Seas Cruises is billing its 750-passenger Seven Seas Explorer, launching in July as the world's most luxurious cruise ship. Top digs are a 3,700-square-foot suite with a price tag of $5,000 a night. Robots on cruise ship. Pepper the Robot is now part of the crew on some ships of the Italian Costa Cruise Lines. Multilingual self-propelled humanoids, not quite 4 feet tall, can read some human emotions, give directions, and offer tips on shipboard restaurants and shore excursions.
Well, maybe at least they won't try to pickpocket you.
On all new Royal Caribbean ships, you can have a bionic bartender pour you a drink, but not, alas, listen to your woes. Dogs rule. Four-legged travelers get special attention on the Queen Mary 2. Ocean liner increasing.
Bring your dog on a cruise.
Uh-huh. That was my reaction. I'm glad you did that because I didn't want to make all the dog lovers mad at me again. Dogs just don't belong on airplanes and cruise ships and places like
that.
Well,
I disagree on the airplane.
How much you love your dog and stuff like that. Well, everybody's entitled to their point of view, even if it's wrong.
Thanks a lot.
All right, I got some other stuff here, but we're way over time here, so we probably should wrap it up and say that's your travel
news
for today.
That's your travel news. What next?
What's next? Gwen Duncan is on the line. She's going to tell us how to buy, how to get the best deal on a round-the-world ticket. And also, she pointed out something to me that happens that dings people a lot. They buy an airline ticket with somebody else's credit card, and, well, we'll let Gwen tell you what happens.
That's next on The Travel Guys. On the first part of the journey... Oh, wait a minute.
Actually, this is the second part of the journey. The first part of the journey was already over.
Okay, let's set this up. We are the Travel Guys. Mark,
have you ever
and Tom.
Been through the desert on a horse with no name?
Matter of fact, several times, but that was back in my hippie days. At least
back in your younger years.
It sure seemed like it.
Seemed like
time.
It was a desert on a horse with no name, huh?
Okay, Travel Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Tom and Mark, and on the line, Gwen Duncan. Gwen. Welcome aboard.
Celebrating Veterans Day, huh?
Yes, we're celebrating veterans on yes. Memorial Day, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm at a barbecue and I'm out hiding where it's quiet.
I thought you were going to say you were at a bar and you were out hiding where it was.
No, not yet. Soon. Soon.
So, Miss Gwen Duncan, you're in town having fun on Memorial Day here. Let's talk about a couple of travel things here.
Okay.
You said you had some tips about making folks a smarter traveler when it came to around-the-world airline tickets.
Yes, a lot of people don't realize that around-the-world tickets are available if you want to do something exciting, like you have to cross both oceans. You have to cross the Atlantic and the Pacific. And you can have stopovers. You have to go in an onward, forward direction. The good thing is that there are companies that can help you put these things together, but you should have all your plans ahead of time. But the important thing is that to do these, you have to work with either Star Alliance, One World, or SkyTeam, where you've got a multitude of airlines within each one of those umbrellas, and they can use the different, go to the different continents.
So I think this is similar to what Chris just did when he went to Europe. You had United points, so you used Star Alliance
right.
people.
Air Canada Rouge to get over there, then connected with Aegean Airlines, which again is part of Star Alliance. So I just basically cobbled it all together, Lufthansa, and then flew home on a United flight.
And so that's, Gwen, what you're talking about on these around-the-world things is that you're going to want to work within one airline group.
Yes, yes. Then it eliminates that having to, if you did it all one ways, mm-hmm. and it was just a variety of different umbrella.
Now, don't some airlines offer from time to time an around-the-world fare where you can make two or three stopovers?
Yeah. Actually, they do have some rules. You have to have a minimum of three stopovers.
Okay.
And cumulatively, the cost to the ticket is far less when you do it under the one umbrella. But mm-hmm. you do have to make sure you can make some transits. Like if you're going, let's say you're going to fly overseas and you're going to take a cruise, and the cruise ends at a different place, obviously than it started. If it isn't a round trip,
right?
It's okay. It's allowed to do that and then pick up the plane. At the other end.
It sounds to me like this is really, if you are planning this kind of a trip and you're not a travel professional or pretend to be one, that you're probably looking at getting somebody who is a professional to help you with this. That even if they charge you $100 to write a ticket for you that had a bunch of different segments and stuff like this, that you would be way time and money ahead by working with a professional on something like that.
Absolutely, because there could be fees incurred if you plan on changing your mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of your trip, if you change it before you left, if you change it before you return, you change the directions you wanted to go, then the fees could be just terrible. But each of these, the Star Alliance, One World, and SkyTeam, all have around-the-world departments.
Gwen, just out of curiosity, how many around-the-world trips are you asked to book in a year?
Oh, none. I've only been asked three times.
So it's not...
A lot of people are not taking advantage of this.
Mm-hmm. So this is so there. So what we're basically telling people today is that there are special deals on around the world tickets that allow you to stop over in several places, and that before you start trying to cobble together something yourself, that you might be better off to start with the airlines and look and or start with a travel professional who can look and see what might be available for you.
Absolutely. I had some samples. Did you get the sample flights that I had sent over to you?
I did not.
Okay, because there are some that I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
And then these are some of the ones that are with us, like a Star Alliance or, with, you know, one whatever. But just to give you an idea, if you did them all in one way, it would just be astronomical, you know, in price. But, like, they've got Mexico, Costa Rica, Peru, Brazil, and Spain. One of, you know, going and onwards, doing a stopover, which the stopovers could be as long as you want them to. They recommend that you do this within a year, within a year's time,
okay.
You know, your trip for a year. But that one is called Across the Pond. That one was $1,929.
So that's not, it's not necessarily, we're not necessarily talking about $10,000 here. You could do this airfare-wise for a couple of $1,000s. So it's, and our other point is, two points, use a travel professional, and the price of this might not be as out of sight as what you've been thinking. All right, we've only got a short time here, 90 seconds before the news comes up. Quickly, this deal about using someone else's credit card to pay for an airline ticket or a cruise ticket, and then you get to a point where you're trying to check in or get on the ship, and what happens?
No go. And I've seen this happen, but I've heard about it more than I have seen it, you know, been at the airport.
Oh, I've seen somebody, it personally happen at cruise ships before, yes.
Yeah, oh yeah. The people go to check in at the airport, let's say. They bought their ticket online, and their parents bought their air ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that. And they get there, and the airline personnel ask to see the credit card that was used.
So how do people, if you're using someone else's credit card, how do you make sure that when you get to the end or you get to use the product that you're in good shape?
Well, if it was me, I would contact the airline, get a letter from your parents saying that it was okay to use it. You've got to be prepared that way.
So
you've got to go prepared.
So something, perhaps a written document from the person whose card that
credit,
you use.
Yeah, credit card authorization letter.
Yeah.
I've dealt with this before, and it happens in a lot of different
and
things.
And you would think
hotels
that probably that you wouldn't need to do this, but really and truly, if you get to the other side of the country, you're trying to get on a cruise ship, and they're saying, I'm sorry, we're not going to take you, then you might wish that you had taken a few minutes to do this. Gwen, we're up against the clock. Thank you very much.
Okay, talk to you in a couple of weeks and enjoy the rest of your day, guys.
Oh, well, and it sounds like you will. You're already at the barbecue.
Yeah, let's thank the veterans.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel. You can find a link to her travel agency at travelguysradio.com. When we come back after the break, Chris Galloway is going to be here to talk to us about the do's and don'ts of traveling on your own in Europe. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
It is the Travel Guys that you stumbled across, or intentionally or accidentally, here on KFBK. Every Sunday, 3 o'clock, you can follow along with all we do at travelguysradio.com. And I also notice that over there on the far left, you can you can click on and follow Sports Leisure Vacations on Facebook. In fact, there's some great pictures there from your Ohio trip, Mark. And my favorite one is... I think you're actually dancing.
We had a lot of fun. We had some little kids who were teaching us Irish dance step.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing when you let your mind open up and you go places and you just have fun and do little insignificant things that other people wouldn't normally do. We went to a place in Columbus where a family housed people who were escaping underground. It was called the Underground Railroad, although it wasn't underground, it wasn't a railroad, but nonetheless, for slaves escaping from the South,
right.
And it was just fascinating. I love the whole trip. People in Ohio are really nice people. Anyways, we have a guest in studio here, so let's stop babbling and talk to Chris Galloway. Chris has just come back from several weeks in Europe. He went to half a dozen different countries and had a lot of experiences. This was not a completely roughing it trip. Wasn't a completely a backpack trip, was it, Chris?
Well, we backpacked. We used Airbnb and only stayed in two hotels.
Okay, so it was pretty much on the cheap.
It was intended to be on the cheap.
Uh-huh.
Europe is not an inexpensive destination.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I'll be working for you for a couple more years.
So, now, was this an independent trip, or was this a Sports Leisure's vacation?
It was a personal vacation, just met up with some friends and checked out Europe.
Well, tell us a little bit about it, Chris.
Well, again, going back to kind of what Gwen said, we cashed in a bunch of miles and cobbled the tickets together, so saved a lot of money there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another way that we were able to save quite a bit of money was by using Airbnb. I highly, highly recommend Airbnb. Have you seen their latest commercials?
I have. It's the one where it doesn't say, you know, don't just go to Europe, but live in Europe,
live there,
or
even
Paris
if for
or
one
whatever.
Night.
Yeah. Do you think that the Airbnb experience and what you see in their TV commercials is a reality?
I think it is spot on. When you're selecting your Airbnb, you know, you can choose how much you wish to spend. So someone like you, for example, Mark, you would probably want something a little bit nicer than places that I stayed. I stayed in a 5-story walk-up. That's a building with no elevator. in Paris. It was a small studio apartment. But it was absolutely perfect for my needs.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it kept things right along the budget.
So what did it cost you for something like that?
For that particular apartment, it was 90 a night.
Okay, 90 euros?
90 euros.
Okay.
Right.
So that's about 100 US dollars.
Right.
Okay.
A little more, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
In the neighborhood. But so what's really great about the Airbnb experience is you're staying in the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So I come down every day and I've got all the cafes and the locals right there, you know, folks with the fresh baguettes thrown under their arms and espresso in hand. So you really, you step directly into the lifestyle.
Ah, okay.
That's what I enjoyed.
And that was, and perhaps it sounds like that it didn't, it saved you money.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would shudder to think what a $90 hotel room in.
Food has become, as I plan tours, the price of food is just
ridiculous.
I mean, it's unbelievable what, you know, $10, $12 for a salad, $4 for a cup of coffee. So how when you were traveling through Europe, how were you able to, you said we were able to stay within your budget using Airbnb. How did you do that when it came to food?
Eat local. Eat like the locals do. For example, if you're in Greece, eat Greek food. Go to the places that they go. Another thing that's great about Airbnb is you have a small kitchen,
mm-hmm.
so you can go to the grocery store.
Sounds like we have our own little Anthony Bourdain here, right here in the making.
Well, seriously, I was able to save a lot of money just by being able to prepare maybe one or two meals a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, a sandwich for lunch, or, you know, in some cases, even eggs and bacon and that sort of thing for breakfast in the morning. But I could do it much, much cheaper.
Plus, with
than
Airbnb,
I could.
You could eat the stuff that was in the refrigerator. No, I was just kidding. Just kidding there.
We did. if it was there, it was fair game.
I see. You said you did a food tour in Europe, in Paris.
In Paris, in the Marais district. And that was absolutely, to me, I'm a huge foodie. That was the highlight of my trip. Another thing that was really good about that is where it fell in the trip. It was the first real activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got on the ground. I got to go to all these different places, learn about baguettes, the traditional versus the original. Would you believe there is a law in 1993 written to tell you what kind of baguette you're buying and how it's prepared?
Oh, really? Oh,
interesting.
I kid you not. These folks have laws for everything, but it makes for a wonderful experience because, again, these are places where we visited on the food tour that I may have been intimidated to go in by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone can come in and show me and let me sample and taste, and it was just a wonderful way.
How much did something like that cost you?
That particular one was about 100 euro.
Okay. So food tours here in the U.S. are 79, 89, 99 bucks. That's not uncommon, over 100 sometimes. So that's not completely unreasonable. You have a note here that says, don't eat Vietnamese in Paris.
Okay. Again, like I say, eat local. Now, I know you're looking at me going, Vietnamese in Paris, but listen, there is a thought process to this. You know, Vietnam...
As strange and as vague as it may be.
Might be, yeah. Exactly.
Vietnam was a French colony.
Okay.
And in Vietnamese cuisine, there are traces of French culinary tradition.
Okay.
And sauces and techniques, that sort of thing. So I thought, hey, we're going to be in Paris.
Right. Well, the French were in Vietnam before
exactly.
the country fell apart.
And the French are known for elevated cuisine. So I thought perhaps with these two things together, I was going to get something really special.
Uh-huh.
I didn't. but you know what? You notice here, I also say, don't trust Yelp blindly. That's uh-huh. what I did. I went to Vietnamese. I went on Yelp. I found a place, and I said, "Oh, the reviews look great," and I went. And have you ever been so hungry that you just stop noticing anything around you? You're just like, "I want to get in. I want to eat." So we get in, we order, we start to eat, and it just wasn't living up to expectations. And then I kind of stopped and looked around and realized that there was nothing but Caucasian folks sitting in this place.
Uh-huh.
That's never a good sign. So then I went back onto Yelp and looked, and lo and behold, all of the reviewers were Caucasian. So
there you go.
Know, you got to look at who's writing the reviews and then put your own intuition into it as well.
We're talking with Chris Galloway on the Travel Guys here. If you've just checked in on us on KFBK, and we're talking about Chris's trip to Europe this summer.
And Chris, go ahead and make our listeners smarter travelers when they travel to Europe, would you?
Okay, so one of the biggest things that you need to know, mm-hmm. always have cash in hand. Here in the U.S., I never carry cash. I swipe a card for everything, from mm-hmm. a pack of gum to gas, whatever. But there, you need cash in hand. There are a lot of places that just simply will not take a credit card. Also, you need to make sure you have coins and small coins, because a lot of the restrooms are paid restrooms.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I'll say that I did have to jump over a turnstile here and there. But, you know, come on. It should be free to pee.
You made a note here that said McDonald's and Starbucks guaranteed restrooms.
Absolutely. McDonald's and Starbucks, there are always restrooms there for you.
Uh-huh.
You may have to make a nominal purchase, but that's fine. Grab yourself an ice cream. There's typically a code that's on the receipt. Mm-hmm. But 9 times out of 10, if you just go stand next to the door, somebody's going to come out and you can slip right on in.
Before you left on your trip, you took several days of your time and effort. So, I mean, it cost you quite a bit of your own personal time, which time is money, to get global entry. Did you find that to be a valuable thing as you went from
Absolutely.
Country to country?
Absolutely. I highly, highly recommend getting enrolled with the Global Entry Program. It just makes things so simple. As soon as I swipe my passport, I guess something comes up on the screen that tells them I'm good. They hand me the passport and I'm on my way. No questions, no nothing. Coming back into the States, into San Francisco, is a breeze. They have a full lane just for you. You walk up. It's all automated. They scan your passport, takes a picture. You put your fingers down. It takes your fingerprints and it prints out a receipt that you literally walk through. You hand it to the person. They say, keep going. Keep mm-hmm. moving. I was through that entire process in 10 minutes.
What did Global Entry cost you?
$100.
And now you had to go to Southern California to get it because you were doing it the last minute, but it can be done easier than that.
I was just about to remind people of that. If you've got a trip coming up, plan for this in advance. Because right now, the closest place is San Francisco at the airport, and I think they're booked up until September.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that you're planning something in advance, go ahead and start considering this and go ahead and get yourself an appointment, get this taken care of. If not, you'll end up in Calexico like I did.
The equivalent of TSA PreCheck, but on a global level. If
right.
you're traveling domestically and not going out of the country, TSA PreCheck will be enough for you. But if you're going out of the country, then you want Global Entry, which costs a little bit more, is a little bit more complicated to attain, but is of greater value.
Absolutely. And now that I have the Global Entry, I also have a known traveler number. I put this into my my online accounts for airlines and whatnot, and I'll always be
so
on
in
the
essence,
pre-check list.
By getting the higher one, you were grandfathered into the lower ones. Okay, so we just got a minute. Yes, Tom.
Yeah, Chris, when you were getting around in Europe, tell me a little bit about transportation and such. How did that work out for you?
Well, European transportation is wonderful. The cities have great public transportation. The trains are great. However, we did encounter a Greek transportation strike.
Nice.
We were going to be catching the ferry out to Mykonos the following day. So we went down to the ferry dock, and it was just crazy. People were upset, and we get to the ticket counter, and the guy says, oh, they just went on strike an hour ago.
Oh boy.
And I'm thinking, well, what do we do? We've got a hotel room booked and all that sort of thing. So
here's your rowboat.
We've got to get there. I happened to just notice in the corner of my eye, it says airline tickets. So I asked the guy, I said, you can book an airline ticket? He said, yeah, absolutely. So I threw him a credit card. That's the number one thing. Travel is an imperfect science.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, I had the Greek transportation strike. I was there during the Paris labor riots. I had delayed flights, which resulted in tight connections and lost baggage. Trick is, don't sweat it. Just keep calm. As long as you have a passport and you have money, you can make anything happen. Just keep it calm.
Chris Galloway with some tips, some do's
great
and
advice.
Don'ts. Really,
outstanding.
Some great wisdom in there for if you are not only if you're headed to Europe, But pretty much if you're traveling anywhere away from home, I love the thing about having a few small coins for restrooms and stuff, because if you need one and you didn't have one, why?
Yeah, there you go. When's your little European traveler's handbook coming out, Chris? I think it's needed, and I think you'd do a great job putting it together. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris Galloway. All right, when we come back, we're going to dig into the Travel Guys mailbag, and we also have a Memorial Day tribute to tell you about. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
The Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we do from time to time, we get into the Travel Guys mailbag. If you go to travelguysradio.com, there is an opportunity towards the bottom of the page where you can leave a comment, a reply, an email address, and ask a question, and then
make a complaint.
Yeah.
Ask for money. we get just about everything comes
in
through there.
Put one in here.
Yeah.
Dear Mark, I would like next Sunday
off.
That's
fine.
I need to go bowling.
Oh, good Lord.
Anyway.
I'm going to see baseball this week. I'm taking a bunch of Sports Leisure travelers to Chicago. Now get this.
Yeah.
We're going to Chicago. We're going to tour Wrigley Field.
Yep.
We're going to a Cubs game.
Okay.
But we're going to a Cubs game against the Dodgers.
Oh my!
Because the
Giants aren't going
to
be there.
Giants aren't there, so we're going to go to the Cubs game and be able to root for the
Cubs.
Yeah. Except I understand there is at least one Dodger fan in our group, so we'll try to make his life not too miserable.
You do Sports Leisure does of course a lot of baseball game to San Francisco and the A's,
right?
And how many out of town baseball
once a year? Well, we do spring training every year,
right,
in Arizona, and we will next year. But we do once a year, sometimes twice a year. We might go to San Diego with the Giants in later in the year. This is looking like it could be a pretty good year. But we're going back to stopping in Chicago. We're going to see the Cubs and the Dodgers. Then we're going to take the train to St. Louis and see the Giants play the Cardinals for a weekend series over Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. I, unfortunately, can't stay for the whole weekend. I have to go to Duluth, Minnesota to speak on Sunday morning. So Mr. Galloway is flying into St. Louis after he finishes a trip to Santa Fe and
do the baseball game
and doing some of the baseball
filling
stuff.
In for Mark. Do you have the same passion that Mark does at any level, Chris, about the Giants?
I always say I love being at the ballpark, but I'm in it for the beer and the nachos.
Speaking about making sure to bring some cash,
yeah,
or your credit card.
Exactly. Hey, did you know what? This is kind of cool. You know Dr. Heimlich and the Heimlich remover and stuff?
I do.
You saw this.
I did see this story, and for those that may have missed it on TV, Mark.
He's 96 years old, and mm-hmm. he lives in a assisted care facility, and a lady who was 87 had swallowed a piece of meat, and she was having a hard time breathing. And so he went and first time he has ever used his own maneuver himself and basically saved the lady's life. I mean, you know, so that's...
You think he announced right before he performed the maneuver, I'm going to give you my maneuver. And she looked at him and said, I don't think so, buddy.
But the lady that he did it for wrote him a thank you note
yes.
that read, God put me in the seat next to you.
Yes, that was pretty awesome. For those that may have missed it, there was a little TV piece, and they had him on, and uh-huh. they had her, and well,
that's
I guess
cool.
if you're gonna choke on a piece of meat, being there next to
have
the old Dr. Mr. Heimlich,
right next to you, that was extremely good judgment.
Yeah, good thing he got it right. Huh?
And he has a little bit more to do with travel than the last item. 150 doctors and academics have called for the Olympics to be moved out of Brazil because of the Zika virus. This is not working out well for Brazil.
No, it's not. They told the athletes they can voluntarily choose to not go.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know.
So you would work all of your life basically to get to this moment in time, and someone would tell you that voluntarily you cannot go. I can't imagine any athlete.
Well, you know,
unless you knew already that you were a placeholder and that you weren't going to have any chance to win. But still to go to the Olympics and be an Olympic athlete.
Well, now you think about all the different kinds of mosquito repellent
mm-hmm.
that would be available to
remember
you.
Remember Eddie the Eagle in
oh,
Calgary?
Sure.
The
oh,
guy
sure.
that Chris is probably too
there
young
was a,
for
there
this.
There was a recent movie, they made a movie about him.
He's a ski jumper from Great Britain, and he was in the Calgary Olympics. So this is what, 84 maybe, something like that, 88? And he wasn't very good, but he didn't embarrass himself, and he probably finished towards the end of the pack, but he captured every person's heart because...
Yeah, it's a really interesting story if you get a chance to either look it up online. And like I say, there was a film not too long ago about it. But as we digress...
Shall we do what we were going to do when we started this segment?
Yeah,
this segment, we don't actually get to the questions.
Yeah, let's...
Okay, we get way more of these than we can answer on the air, and I try to answer as many of them individually as I can and send people in the right direction. This question had to do with timeshares. Mom and Dad went to a timeshare presentation. I told them what you had said about not taking your wallet or your checkbook. Mm-hmm. But they did anyway. Fortunately, they didn't buy something, although they came close. They came home and found that the $11,200 timeshare that they came very close to purchasing was available on the secondary market online for $2,700. So there you go. We made somebody a smarter traveler.
There you go. And we are so glad we could help out.
There's always for timeshares, never take any instruments of purchase with you to a timeshare presentation. Ever. Take nothing. You can always buy it the next day, no matter what they tell you. It'll be available the next day for the same price.
And you can bring a sharp object.
That's exactly right. But not that Tom is bitter. Is there an advantage to checking in to hotels online? Many hotels now offer check-in ahead of time. I'm just wondering if there's any advantage to it. The hotels are not giving any points or anything for it anymore. An advantage to checking in online? Yes, there is an advantage, because when you get to the hotel, at many hotels, they have a separate area, especially large ones, where if they're busy, you have checked in online. You go stand in that checked-in online line, and they don't need to see anything from you. They just see your ID and hand you a key, because they know that you are who you said you are because you've already checked in online. So it's a much easier process. Be careful, though, because Hilton will pick out a room. Some of the hotels allow you to pick out your own room. Hilton will pick out a room for you and say, do you want this one or a different one? If you're not knowledgeable about the hotel, be careful about picking out your own room. Be careful about being next to the elevator, being next to the stairwells. You may not be able to see where the ice machine is. On that, you may not know if the ice machine is enclosed in a little room or whether it's open in the hallway. So be careful about picking your own room. You talked about the importance of screenshots. One listener says, and taking them, I want to tell you that I was flying on Delta Airlines. We had my plane was delayed by weather early in the day. Later in the day, it was a mechanical delay. Delta said they didn't owe us anything because we had to overnight in Salt Lake City. I showed them a screenshot from earlier in the day when the airplane had a mechanically related delay and ended up with a $200 voucher from Delta Airlines. Please tell your listeners that screenshots can be very valuable. So there's another example of somebody who, if you ever get into a situation where you're looking at your airline and you're going to catch a flight later in the day and you see that your flight is delayed, there's some issue with it, no matter what the issue is, if you have the ability to take a screenshot of what you're looking at, do it. Because later in the day, you may find that the airline, for some unknown reason, known only to their revenue enhancers, will decide that the mechanical delay earlier in the day, now they're in a situation where the weather is bad and obviously the plane can't take off. But if you can show them that the reason the plane is caught in the bad weather is because it had a mechanical delay earlier in the day, otherwise it wouldn't have hit the bad weather. And therefore, this isn't a weather delay. It is a mechanical delay, and you've got to do your homework. So that's very critical. Same thing with hotels. If you're looking at a hotel and the price is displayed or a certain type of room or something like that, and you're not buying it now, take a screenshot. At the very minimum, it serves as a reminder to you later as to what was available. So that's another good another good question from a listener. If you have a question for us that you would like us to answer either on the air or you just need some travel wisdom or advice on something, go to travelguysradio.com. You can see where it says leave a reply and you can leave a comment there, or you can enter into our Travel Guys contest. Every day, every week, we give away a Sports Leisure Vacations travel card. This week it's $100 and it goes to Regina Rao, R-A-O. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Regina went with us to the Giants game last Sunday when Madison Baumgartner was throwing that great masterpiece down in San Francisco. So, Regina, you have won a $100 travel card. Call Sports Leisure Vacations Monday or Tuesday. And you can't, well, actually, you can't call Monday because it's a holiday. So call Tuesday or Wednesday and claim your $100 travel card. We are just about to the end of the program, Mr. Romano.
Yeah, you had a little shout-out, did you not?
I did here. TravelGuysRadio.com, there is an excellent article about Jimmy Stewart. He was a general in the United States Army. He had an adopted son who was killed in Vietnam, who he rarely talked about. It's a really, really interesting story. It is at TravelGuysRadio.com, remembering the quintessential American hero and his son on Memorial Day. If you go there, make sure you take a handkerchief to read it.
Everyone, happy Memorial Day. All righty, salute to the vets. We thank you for spending time with the Travel Guys. We'll see you next Sunday, 3 o'clock. We'll do it again. Have a good week.